Let's spend a few minutes together in the Word of God. We've been speaking on a theme of God does more than you expect. How many know that's true? God does more than what you expect. He can do above and beyond all you can ask or think, the Bible says. And some of us have some big thoughts. Anybody in this room have some big thoughts, some big dreams? You bet. What do you want to see the Lord do? God can do more than what you expect. Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 9? Now, if you have your smartphone with you that has your Bible on it, or your iPad, or a tablet, or there are Bibles in the back if you don't have one, I'd love you to see this Matthew chapter 9 in your own scriptures. Matthew 9 through 13. And failing any of those others, I have it up here for you. Matthew 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named what? Matthew, sitting at the tax office, and he said, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Lord, let your word speak to our hearts this morning as we take a quick look at the word of God this morning. Who did Jesus come for? Who did Jesus come for? We're going to talk overall this morning in the next few minutes about who did Jesus come for? And first of all, he came for Matthew. How many think that Jesus calling out to Matthew pretty well changed his afternoon? Matthew's radical obedience. Let's give you a little backstory here. Matthew's radical obedience completely changed his life. Have you had your life changed by Jesus Christ? It completely changed him. Probably Matthew was very wealthy. He was, you know, the tax collection business was very lucrative. So when Matthew walked away from his booth, now listen, this is important. When Matthew walked away from his booth, he snubbed, turned his back on Rome, and a lifetime of potentially incredible wealth. Several other disciples could always return to fishing. We saw them try to do so. Matthew burned that bridge behind him. When you snubbed Rome, when you walked away from your tax collection booth, you weren't ever getting that job back. I want you to understand something. When you give your life to Jesus, you don't just add him to a little corner of your soul. But he says, "Come and surrender to me." And when you give your life to him, how many knows the whole deal? The real deal, the full meal deal, is the whole deal. Because he's everything. Are you all in?
Yeah.
Come on, are you all in for Jesus?
Yeah.
Turn to each other and say, "I'm all in. How about you? I'm all in. How about you? I'm all in for Jesus." And that's what Matthew did. He collected customs and taxes from the citizens as well as merchants passing through town. Now, Capernaum is still a beautiful little seaport village. In fact, there's not much there now, but it was on the Sea of Galilee. And so what do we have? We have, how many know what that is? We stood right there. We've been there. That's a museum, if you will, built over the top of what is probably, most likely, Peter's house. So that's Peter's house and the village of Capernaum, and they built a museum over the top of it. And then you see the synagogue. We stood right there over by those pillars. So the synagogue of Capernaum, that's what remains. It was a real community. It was a real place where real people lived. And he was collecting customs from merchants who passed through the town as well as from citizens. Now, tax collectors took a commission on all the taxes they collected. So most of them overcharged and kept the profits. How many love the IRS today? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Turn around, look at those hands. Most Jews, just like you, hated the tax collectors because they had a reputation for cheating in their support of Rome, and they were constantly in contact with those who they considered unclean Gentiles. Okay, you tracking with me? So you had the Jew, and then you had everybody else, unclean Gentiles. A Jew, now watch this, who accepted such an office, please read the rest with me, shamed his family and friends and was excommunicated from the synagogue. So it was a life transformation when that person became a tax collector. And when Matthew walked away from being a tax collector, he was already excommunicated from the synagogue. He had already given a lifetime of shame to his own family and to his friends. Now, how many think that all those Jewish family and friends were thrilled about him becoming a Christian? The tax collection booth, I don't have a picture for you, but the tax collection booth was on an elevated platform or a bench. Everybody in town knew who Matthew was. Anybody passing through the community would pay taxes and know exactly where to pay them very easily. And one day, Jesus walks right up to his booth and says, "Follow me." It wasn't a question, it was a command. How many know Jesus is walking right up to you today, and he's issuing a command? Follow me. Come on, someone say amen or oh no. Amen. We like to put it really sweet, right? We do. We like to put it really sweet. He's inviting you. He loves you so much. And he does. He does. But we like to put it in the invitation rather than, and so he commands you, come on and follow me. But that's the command of Scripture. Follow Jesus. Can you say with me this morning, I'm all in. I'm all in. The fact that Jesus, I'm spending a couple minutes on this, but the fact that Jesus reached out and called such a notorious person into his circle of inner disciples must have even shocked the other disciples. Who'd you bring to church with you? Come on, look around. Who'd you all come into church? Who are you from? No, don't do that. But can you imagine? These were Jewish believers when they gave their life to the Lord, and they were shocked that Jesus called Matthew. And Matthew recognized it wasn't an invitation, it was a command. All right, so he came for Matthew, and guess what? Jesus came for who? Matthew's friends. Verse 10, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table at the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Who are Matthew's friends? A bunch of sinners! Come on, someone say amen or oh no. A bunch of sinners! Before you gave your life to the Lord, who were all your friends? A bunch of sinners. Hopefully you still have a bunch of sinners as friends. Because you're the best gospel they get to see. You're the best one they get to see for Jesus Christ. Reaching out beyond our own borders, getting out beyond our comfort zone, going back to China, going back to Cleveland. History of Rock and Roll Museum is in Cleveland, right? Take a picture for me, would you? I was an old rocker. So anyway, but you gotta get out beyond your comfort zone to see where the real people live. We should see in your mind's eye a sign over your door. When you go out of this building, see it, now entering the mission field. Right? Now entering the mission field. Matthew calls his friends together to meet Jesus right along with them. They were people that could not get together with Jesus in the synagogues. They were already excommunicated from the synagogues. Now listen. How many know There are people all around us, no matter where you live this morning, who don't exactly look like good church-going folk. Some of them wear cowboy boots. And maybe there's a tattoo and an ear piercing, and maybe there's earrings everywhere in places you don't even want to know. What I don't get is people who have tongue pierces. You know, how do you not talk like this? You know, I don't. I'm a different generation, right? I'm sorry. But there are people all around, and maybe the hairstyle's different, or maybe they've got some piercings, or maybe they're covered with tattoos, and they need Jesus. You know that, right? So what do we get to do? We get to bring them Jesus. The term sinners refers not only to immoral and pagan people, but to the common people who simply weren't learned in the way of the law. So the Pharisees consider them unclean. The Pharisees react. According to the Pharisees, contact with these scum makes a Jew unclean. To sit and eat with such people was particularly heinous. But I want you to see the heart of Jesus, because it says Jesus stooped to the level of the poor, the unlearned, the common people, even sinners. Can you say, such were some of us? You know, you look into the Bible and the Bible says, such were some of you. We're going to look at that scripture in a moment. Such were some of you. Self-righteous Pharisees. Jesus turns to them and he goes, man, you guys got to get back into the scripture. He's really saying to them, you guys got to take a look at the scripture. Hosea chapter 6 tells you, go back and read it again. I want you to be merciful, God says. I don't want your sacrifices. God didn't want Israel's rituals. He wanted their heart. And Jesus challenged the Pharisees to apply the word of God to their lives. He wanted a right relationship based on a real heart. And some people don't find out their real heart until they really are in touch with their real need. Is anybody in this room, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a piercing question. I know you've heard it from me before. But do you realize that you are needy for Jesus? Are you needy for Jesus? Real life doesn't begin until you see how much you need him and how good he is. He comes to needy scum who just plain need him. Pastor Campbell, I wasn't a scum. I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't run with those who do. And others in the room say, I did all that. We all need Jesus. And he came for all of us. Who were Matthew's friends? Sinners, tax collectors, people who needed him. Third, Jesus came for you and me. Do you think you're too good for Jesus? No. If you think you're too good for Jesus, then you're saying you don't need him. And the offense to the heart of God who sent Jesus to die on a cross because you and I do need him. Turn to each other and say, I bet I need him more than you do. Now the other one turned back and said, oh no, that's not true. Next Sunday morning, we celebrate Palm Sunday. A week from Friday night, we have Good Friday. We'll have a celebration here. I want you to come. Bring people from everywhere if you want to see and hear what Jesus did. We're going to have 10 ordained pastors come and read the scriptures. And I told them all this year, we get to host it here. I said, none of you are preaching. One person gets to preach. One person gets to, and no, it's not me. Try to tell ordained people not to preach. That's a hard one. I said, I want you to just read the scripture, because the scripture is the best teller of the word. The scripture will teach what happened. There'll be some songs. There'll be a time as we celebrate what he did when he went to the cross. And then in 2 weeks, we celebrate Easter. Easter is a lot more than ham and baked potatoes. Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus, who went to the cross for you, for me, because God knows we all need him. Amen. Raise your right hand. Say, I need him too. Jesus came for you and for me. If the church rejects people that don't just look like us or act like us, we are never going to reach the world for Jesus. But go and learn what this means, the Bible says. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, thank God, when you've given your life to the Lord, He begins this transformation process where we begin to change and begin to become more like Him. But some who listened to Paul the Apostle said, I don't need Him. I didn't need Him. I'm not like those people. I'm not down in the trenches with those people. Those are unclean tax collectors. You called who? You called Matthew? His name is also Levi in the Bible. You called Levi? What's Levi doing here? Paul the Apostle captures the heart of it when he says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols, commit adultery, male prostitutes, practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people. Come on, some of you can look at me this morning and say, no, I don't do any of that bad stuff. Ever greedy? Ever want more back from the IRS than you deserve? Come on. I only get a paycheck. But you look at these things, and you can go down the list, and you go, oh, well, no, don't want anything to do with those people. Hey, those people need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And the Bible says in the King James, I love it, and such were some of you. Paul says, these greedy people, drunkards, abusive, cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. You go, whoa, who can get in? That's the point, isn't it? Who can get in? See, the problem is in the body of Christ, we all look at certain groups up here and we go, they're the bad ones. Don't want anything to do with them. And Jesus looks up and he goes, how exhaustive do I need to make the list? Because we all find ourselves somewhere on that road, walking away from Him until we surrender. Have you surrendered to Jesus? You know, I remember going to Russia. We're not going to take a lot longer. Just give me 2 more hours. I remember going to Russia. I remember going to Russia about 15, 20 years ago. 20 years ago now. 23 years ago now. Sorry. I was a different man. Yeah. Whoa. I remember going to Russia. And we were staying with David and Julianne Koblen. They pastored a church there. Still goes. They raised it up, gave it over to Nationals. Powerful, powerful. And I was standing in their living room, and they're like a bunch of dormitories. I mean, there's just thousands upon thousands of these apartments or flats. And I couldn't sleep, and I was teaching their leadership. But in the early morning hours, I would get up, and I'd walk to the window, and I'd look out at these thousands of condos or flats. This big courtyard, and the grass was all dead, and the, you know, cement sidewalks, etc. But I thought, oh my God, there's a story and a family and a person that lives in every single one of these places. And I will tell you, I met the sweetest people and parents who loved their kids just like I loved my children. And I walked around and I said to David and Julianne a couple of times, I said, I got to tell you. Now, please hang in here with me. I was raised to hate these people. You hear what I'm saying? And I repented. I don't like the system of government. I thank God I'm born and raised here. But you apply that wherever it is, and you realize God's heart loves the people in every nation who are born. And I go, God, forgive me. Sometimes I'm snotty to the people across the street, much less a different country. Forgive me, Lord. We sat a week ago weeping as I considered My heart doesn't break enough for people who need Jesus. God, forgive me. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not in that list, Pastor Kev. You can count on me. You know how I could really count on you? If you see yourself somewhere in that list and repent. Then we'll know we can count on you because you know you need Jesus. That's where it starts. And the rest of the verse goes, some of you were once like that out of the new living. Such were some of you. But here's the good news. You gave your life to Jesus and you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God. How? How are you made right with God? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Come on, church. There's good news in Jesus, isn't there? Come on, church. There's good news in Jesus. You look around, there are billions and billions spent on self-helps and yoga and meditation and every kind of philosophy. And people are throwing their money down a rat hole because they have no peace, no tranquility in their life. Their marriages are falling apart. Life's falling apart. They're being robbed, blinded, and they don't know who to trust. And the answer is not in any of that. The answer is in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came and He was impaled upon a cross and He looked out at you and me and He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then He said, it is finished. And died. And was put in a grave. And 3 days later, rose again. And He took the punishment and the discipline and the dealing that every one of us deserve. And He rose from the dead. Because Jesus said, it is finished. And God the Father said, it's enough. It's done. Now, it doesn't matter where you were on the list. What matters is that you're on this side of the equation. And if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life personally to Jesus Christ, I am here to tell you, He loves you so much that He died on the cross for you in order to give you new life. He was buried for you and He rose again from the dead for you because He loves you. And He invites, commands you to give your life to Him. You're made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Romans 3:10. Just give me a couple more minutes. How can you say this, Pastor Kev? The Bible concludes, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You mean no matter what, I'm not good enough. The Bible says this. Here's how you get good enough. For God, say it with me, would you please? So love the world. Love the world so much. I'm doing it out of the new living. Let's try this again. It's my fault. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how, same verse out of the message, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, everyone can have a whole and lasting life. Flawed people need Jesus. Would you say that with me? Flawed people need Jesus. If you have kids, there's a story I read the other day. I'm going to tell you part of it from a perspective called Unglued. Just related so much to me. If you have kids, the author says, I'm sure you felt the frustration of having things ruined. Maybe you've experienced grape juice on the carpet. Scratches on hardwood floors. Permanent ink on your favorite shirt. Or something similar. The author says, my daughter Ashley went up the stairway dragging a crayon, putting tick marks on our freshly painted walls with every step she took. Then she dragged the crayon all the way down the hall to her room. And the walls had only just been freshly painted. The author goes on to say, I like to be a person who handles mishaps and messes with a graceful, that's okay, dear, but she says, the author, I'm wired with firecrackers in my blood. Oh, that was a pretty good way of saying it. She says, so I have to make the choice to let the Holy Spirit in. And make the choice every day to invite God's Spirit to interrupt my natural tendencies of yelling and getting so angry over minor things. Come on, anybody in this room ever? If I say ever enough, will I get every hand? Proverbs 12:16 says, I don't want to be a fool that shows my annoyance at once. I want to be prudent, wise. I want to be a woman who doesn't constantly regret my reactions later, the author said. And then God helps me through with what she identified as perspective changers, and maybe you've had some. While visiting her husband's parents, she really took a liking to a certain desk that the mother-in-law had, and she mentioned to her mother-in-law that when she's done with it or ever decides to get rid of it, she would love to have that desk. The mother-in-law stopped and looked at her and said, not that desk. That desk is priceless. She unlatched the fold-down lid to reveal what made the desk so special to her. In a little boy's handwriting, the letters A, R, T, Art's name, was scratched into the surface. And her son's name was forever carved into her desk. She admitted she was angry with Art when it happened years ago. But now she looks back, thinks of her son, and that which at that time she considered the incident that ruined her desk, now makes her desk priceless. The desk had been ruined for good. I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves flawed people. Many of us wish we had some things to do over again in our lives and with our own children. Maybe we wouldn't react so strongly, so badly now. We've lived life more now, and hopefully we have a little more wisdom than we used to. But if you'll let Him, Jesus sees you through His eyes of love, and He looks beyond the scars and the scratches that you've put into your own life, at your own table. And He looks and He covers, and He says, you know what? I forgive you, and I love you, and you're mine, and you're priceless. Come on, say it with me. I am priceless. Turn to each other, say, I am priceless, and don't add more than you. I'm priceless. Because the priceless, precious blood of Jesus was shed for me. And He washes me clean by that priceless, precious blood. You see, we serve a God who can do much more than you expect. Stand with me, would you please? As you stand here this morning, maybe in your heart you realize there's something that you know how much you need Him in. The shame and sting of shame is gone if you're forgiven in Jesus. But maybe you need a fresh sense of that forgiveness. Maybe you're standing here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. I urge you, this is your day. Give your life to Jesus Christ. I urge you to remember that you are absolutely priceless in Him. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people who are available. If they're not immediately here, reach out to one of the leaders in the congregation, ask for prayer. We delight in praying for you. But when you go from this place today, keep our sister in prayer and our brother in prayer, and just keep everybody in prayer. We'll keep us close to Jesus, right? God loves you so much. So much. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be together this morning. We send Your people out with a spirit of joy. Musicians, will you come, please? We'll go back to the key of G and we'll sing once again, forever, forever our God is faithful. We thank You, Lord, for your mercy to us, your grace to us, your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, for making us priceless. In the name of Jesus. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. You all ready? Amen. Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.